Here we go to the second commandment. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. I can remember my pastor telling me that when I was a little boy. And when he said it, we became fearful. We knew that something was up. And then he would say, we should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, prayer and praise, and give thanks. It reminds me a little bit about when I was a young man. I wasn't always like everybody thinks. I wasn't in church every day, praying in the morning, and then going at noontime and spending time with the pastors and the people, and in the evening coming back. I was rather out of control child. As a matter of fact, I spent most of my teenage years in foster care. And that's because I was out of control, they said. And I had a friend, and the friend of mine's name was Bob. And Bob and I really got along and did a lot of things together. And Bob was able to do pretty much whatever he wanted to do. He had parents that had given up on him, and nobody had done anything about it. And oh, I envied that. I thought that was what I wanted. I wanted to roam free. I wanted to do whatever I wanted to do. And so I roamed Sacramento as much as I could, as much as a 15-year-old could. And then about 9 o'clock on a school night or 10 o'clock on the weekends, I would have to go home. And I'd have to report to my foster father. And I have to tell you, I had wonderful foster parents that loved me and truly helped me change my life. But I had to be there. And I had both because I feared him a little bit. And if I didn't, then I'd go back to juvenile hall. And that wasn't a place to be. And I resented going home early when Bob got to stay out late. I wanted to do whatever I wanted to do, but I know I couldn't do that. And one night, as my time limit approached, I told Bob how much I envied him, how I wished that I did not have to leave, how I wished that my foster father was not so strict. And he looked at me, and I remember to this day what he said. He said, Neil, he says, you are lucky to have somebody who cares about you. He says, his parents don't care. He can do whatever he wants, and they really just don't care. And this, my brothers and sisters, is what the law and the commandments are God about. They are about a God that does just care about us. He cares about us so much that he gives us laws and he gives us rule. And this second law we're going to look at tonight, let's spend a little bit of time and go back and look and see what we missed last week. Last week we talked about the law. This thing hates me. And we added these three words. The first word that we added was law, because the law sort of sums up what we have to do, what God tells us to do. That if we do it perfectly, then everything's okay. But we can't. And God knows that. And so the second word is what the commandments are all about, and that's love. That God loves us so much. And we read it during Lent, and we read it during that proclamation when we get ready to share the peace. And what is so important? That God so loved the world that he sent his Son. And the Son lived the law. And we heard about that last week. And then the third word that you need to add if you don't have it is the one that's eight across, and that's Trinity. And so 9 down, law, 11 down, love, and 8 across, Trinity. And we learned that Trinity is the name for God that we give it. God, one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. 3, but 1. Easy to understand to nobody. Easy to live for everybody. We learned that there really are only 2 kinds of religions out there. There are the religions of those who fear God, or a God, wrath and judgment, and so they do what they think they have to do out of fear. And then there's those who fear God out of love, and they do that which they need to do because we love to do that which we should. And so we want to try and motivate you as a young person, as an old person, as an in-between person by love. And so we come to the second commandment. And the second commandment says, You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Or as we were told is, you shall not take the Lord your God's name in, remember that? What was it we used to say? Vain. We would say that we should fear and love God so that we don't curse or swear or do anything. And in the old version it was, you shall not take the Lord your God's name in vain. And so what does the word vain mean? It means empty and useless. So look at seven across. And seven across, you'll see where it says vain. It doesn't either. It says ask. So this was working earlier when I checked it. Let's see if the next one's there. There's vain. And so vain, of course, is vanity. And we hear from Ecclesiastes where the preacher is preaching, vanity, vanity, all is vanity, he says. And what does he mean? That God's name being used empty means nothing. And so we need to not be that way. We need to not misuse the Lord's name. We need to remember that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is our God. And by any other name that we call God, that we need to remember that. And we know that the Bible says that he will not hold him guiltless. Remember that good old times when we talked about guiltless? And we would say that the Bible means that we need to take the name of the Lord seriously. We need to look at what the Lord is telling us to do and then say, yes, don't misuse it. Don't go around. And I had a sheet the other day and I took it out and I was watching television. And in an hour's program on prime time, I just counted how many times I heard the name of the Lord misused. And this is on prime time television. And the name of the show doesn't matter because I think I could have picked any show. And it was over 32 times. The most obvious was, oh my God, or God, you will do this, or what in God's name are you doing? And all those ways are misusing the name of our Lord. God does not want us to do that. He says that our tongues are vile. We bless our Lord with our tongue. We call him Lord and Father. And with the same tongue, in James 3, we read where we curse him. For the same mouth come blessings and curses. And we hear those all the time. And there are times when we hear God's name being used right, but it's becoming less and less. Tonight I heard of the loss of a man that taught me a lot about how to use the name of the Lord correctly. His name was Billy Graham. You heard that Billy Graham died this morning? What a loss to Christendom. A man who lived his life the way that he felt God wanted him to. I never heard him misuse it. I heard him make opportunity time and time again for people to honor God. And when they said, oh God, it was how great thou art, not to condemn a situation. Sometimes we try and make ourselves look good by trying to use God's name incorrectly too. Matthew 15 addresses that. It says, the people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do not worship me, teaching as doctrines as commandments of men. We call those people who try and say Lord with their mouth, but their actions not. A simple name called hypocrite. The church is full of hypocrites. I'm one. Sometimes I do that which I shouldn't do, and I know that God's not happy about that. And so I look and say, what should I do? How can I live my life better? How can I do what God calls me to do? And the Bible verse that says that is right there in Matthew, where Matthew is knocking and he comes in, he says to everybody, he says, blank and it will be given to you. What was that? Blank and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. And the word is there, you'll see it already written, 17 across, ask. Ask and it will be given to you. That's what we need to learn to do more and more in this world. We need to learn to call upon God and not to use what we think we should do, but to use what God wants us to do. And sometimes I ask myself, why should we do that? Why should we take the role of being in charge of telling other people how and what to say? And maybe we should just let people alone and let them live like they want to? I want to tell you a story. about a time when I was in Vietnam. I don't talk about this very often, but it was the first day I had been in Okinawa, and we flew over to Benoit, and we flew in a 707, a Boeing 707 that had been modified and had these big windows. And I remember looking out, and I saw all the country. And I looked, and I saw these round kind of potholes here and there and everywhere. And I thought to myself, that must be a minefield. So I asked my senior NCO, for I had just made NCO right before I went. I said, is that the minefields I'm looking at down there? And he said, no. He says, that's not the minefield. He said, those are the graves of the Buddhist. You see, when a Buddhist dies, they break their legs and they set them in the lotus position, and then they mound the dirt around them. And so what I was looking at was what looked like a mountainside that had the chicken pox, and there were potholes everywhere, and those were all graves of people that had died. And then when we landed, and right before we landed and looking out these windows, the senior NCO said, look here. He says, there's the minefield. And I looked across and I saw a verdant green, beautiful, like a football field, a great big, like pasture almost. And it was beautiful. And he said, that's the minefield. I didn't give it much thought until a little later when I'm walking around looking at different things, trying to get an idea of what was going on in this unusual country, I looked up and I saw a bunch of kids that were playing on that beautiful field. You see, the MP that was watching it had gone in to get coffee or something, and the kids saw this beautiful place to play. And the MPs came out and they turned white, and they screamed at the kids, and the kids froze, and they didn't know what to do, and so they got a map out. And they told the kids to stay put. And as they were standing put, they mapped where the mines were, and they walked a sort of strange path to get to these kids. And they grabbed the kids, and they handed them back down to the safe area. Meanwhile, the parents were coming to pick the kids up. And this is what the parents saw: a group of burly GIs grabbing kids and pulling them away. And of course, they thought that they were fighting them. And so the parents became angry, and there was another group of NPs that kept them away from going onto the minefield and from getting their kids until all of their kids were safe. It would have been easy to just let the kids play. It would have been easy for us to say, you know what? Let them do whatever they want. But they were in danger, and we could do something about it. You see, that's the way I see my job as a Christian. I see people in danger, and we can do something about it. We don't just stand back and let people explode on purpose. We don't stand back and let people die. That night I went to bed, and I slept well. I slept well knowing that at least somewhere somebody was trying. And most nights I go to bed now, and I think, we're trying. Here at this church, we try. We try to reach out. We try to tell people the Ten Commandments are still good. We try to tell people that when you live a godly life, you're doing what God wants you to do. We need to call upon Him in repentance for the many times where we've misused His name, which we do all the time. We need to understand that He loves us so much that all we have to do is ask, and our asking is not in vain. That the second command assures us that when we call upon His name in love, that He answers us. And we need to begin to do it now, because without it, people think it's okay to do whatever they want. But friends, it's not. Worship the Lord your God, and give thanks unto God, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Amen.